We're going to spend just a moment. Yes, the Baptist preacher can just do a moment, okay? I know it's late, but just go to Galatians just for a brief moment where we were at the beginning. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. I just want to give us some observations, and as I said at the beginning, I challenge you, take the bulletin home, go into all the passages we read through, and search through the cross-references, and see whether what I'm about to tell you is true or false. Okay? You can try and prove me wrong. Galatians 4, 4 through 7, let's read it one more time. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Let's start these observations with a question. Is forgiveness of sins enough? Jesus died on our behalf, taking, as we've sung, as we've read, the punishment you and I deserve. And I include myself there. I'm pretty ordinary when I want to be. The sin you and I have committed. And as I was going through and thinking about Easter, read this passage, it struck me how much God did beyond just providing forgiveness. Well, let's start at the observations at the beginning. It says, at the right time, and we dealt with that at Christmas time, that just when God had everything prepared, just as he needed, he sent his Son. And if you read through, you find out Jesus even says, "I and the Father are one." He claims and proves to be God. But did you read that next phrase? Born of a woman. And it's important because we know from Genesis and other places that Jesus didn't have an earthly father. Yeah, Joseph was kind of his adopted father, but so that he didn't take on a sin nature like we all get from our parents, right? That he would be born of a woman and not the congress of man and woman. But have you ever thought about God, Almighty, Eternal, speaks and there's light, days later says, "Oh, and by the way, let's start the source of light." Can you do that? Taking on flesh. Why? Even if he's the perfect man, and he goes to that cross, having kept the law perfectly, as we'll deal with in a minute, and dies for, well, one. Right? Telling the gentleman in the jail this on Friday and going, "You know, what if we went into the courtroom together and I had never broken the law," which, fat chance, right? But if I had never sinned and I stood before the judge and told the judge, "I'll take his punishment. I don't deserve it. I've not broken the law, but I'll take his." I can only do that once. Why? Because now, according to the law, I've broken it, right? But Jesus has to be man to stand in our place, but he also has to be God, so it applies to more than just one. Because if it only applies to one, well, we're kind of tossing a coin between Barabbas and one of the thieves on the cross. Why? Because Jesus was executed in Barabbas' place. Didn't you hear as we read? Release to us Barabbas. It was his day to die. The thief on the cross says, Lord, can I be with you? Today, you'll be in my kingdom. And so he has to be fully God so that it applies to more than just one person. Even as we sang, what? Once for all. It's freely available to everyone. Not everyone takes it. And it's able to be applied. And so he had to be fully God and yet born of a woman. So even as we read from Hebrews, he could know temptation and keep the law. And that leads us to our next couplet here. Not only was he born of a woman, but born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. I have two older siblings who are, the one especially, is the cause of most of the rules in the household. And then I have a younger sister, the baby. You know the rules didn't apply to her. I'm not bitter at all, but I'm the one the rules apply to. The rules earned by my siblings and didn't apply to my younger sister. Could you imagine being the one who gave the law and then having to come live under it? The good thing is he's got it all memorized, so he can do that, right? But did you even notice in Luke chapter 2 that even as he is a tiny baby infant who can't do right or wrong yet, really, who can't go up to the temple and say, hey, I need to do the sacrifice for cleansing on day 8, please. Let's do the circumcision. Right? He can't say that. He can't speak yet. That God used his parents to keep the law perfectly for him while he couldn't. So that then he is, as John will go on to say in John 1, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world because he has none. He who knew no sin became sin for us because he kept the law perfectly. The law even given to Moses, which at last count is 600 plus individual commands. I have a problem keeping 10, right? Anybody else have that problem? Yeah. To do it perfectly in our place, because not the law is weak, we're weak. To redeem us who are under the law. And there, the second law, yes, he's primarily focused on the Jewish Mosaic law. But if you read the book of Romans, there's different types of law we can end up under. We could go full Jewish. I'm pretty sure some of the stuff we ate this morning, you're not allowed to eat if you're Jewish. Ham was looked really good. There's the law of conscience that God has built into each one of us that looks out on even marred creation and says, there is a God and I've rebelled. Or even if you want to ignore and sear the conscience and you go and go, well, oh, I can't believe it. And I had this experience the other day. I can't believe they're going around me. I'm doing the speed limit, right? The law of man. Read the book of Romans. Even the law of man tells us there is a God and there is a moral standard. And Jesus perfectly kept God's law to redeem us because we're all under some sort of law. Again, once for all, free from the law. It's not that we don't obey anymore. It's that now we do it out of thankfulness instead of, I'm trying to make it, God. Would you at least be happy with me? Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. And then did you notice an answer to the question I started with? The more. Now, I have a visual, weird mind. It's almost like Jesus over there, one of those infomercials. 1999, but wait, there's more. Although he's not cost, it doesn't cost us anything. He paid the cost, right? That word, big word, propitiation we read, payment. Okay, it's a fancy word for payment. There's more. Wouldn't it be enough if just the weight of our sin was lifted off? One of the beauties of John Bunyan's allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, is it describes the weight of our sin. And here's poor Pilgrim, and he is trying to crawl up the Law of God mountain. But he has the weight of his sin on his back, which is pictured as this gigantic boulder. Now, for those of you who are really fit, go try that. Get a big boulder, I mean one that's going to literally crush you, and go try and climb a mountain. See what happens. Same thing that happens in the allegory. Whee! Whee! Right? And only when he's crawling and crawling and can't go any further, he looks up and sees the cross and says, God, I can't do it. I need you to do it for me. And I'm paraphrasing a whole lot there. Go read it yourself. Then the boulder comes off. Wouldn't that be enough? To be out from under the weight of that crush? God said, I got more for you. Now, this isn't everything in your life is going to be happy and you're going to be wealthy and everything's going to be fun. No. Go ask the Apostle Paul when he gets saved. God says, hey, I want to tell you about all the things you're going to suffer. When he's talking to the disciples and gives them the cost of disciple, there's cost there. There's demands by God. But it's worth it because he says, not only have I redeemed you if you trust in Jesus Christ, but now I make you a son, so when I look at you, I see Jesus. So when I look at you, I see perfection. Maybe there's one of you in here that thinks they're pretty perfect. Probably not. You imagine God looking at you and going, completely 100% pure righteous. That's what it is to be son. Okay, ladies, you're included in that. Daughters as well. And not just son, but heirs. I could probably, well, maybe, I know I could get at least the twins and a few others into it. It's a children's song. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, right? And again, we're not talking that as heirs, God's going to just pay all our bills. He does take care of us. But it's primarily future looking. You know what he tells the disciples? You're going to reign on 12 thrones with me. You know, some of us, maybe along the way, we thought, hey, well, in fact, I had a chiropractor and he was doing this with his son and he bought an old truck and he and his son were restoring it, right? And that was going to be something for the son, one to drive when he got to that age, but two, as a part of an inheritance. Now, we could look around and go, wow, you know, heir, God owns everything, he's creator. That looks pretty nice. You know, even in its fallen state, we got some real beauty in our world, right? But not, God's not going to refurbish it. He's going to destroy it, make it all new. We get new. Brand new. We read in Ephesians all the things, and it was just a brief snippet. Go read the rest of it. Of all God has done for us, all the heavenly blessings God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And did you notice what we sang? What was the refrain to the praise of His glorious grace? Why does God make us sons and heirs? Because it gives Him glory. Why does God redeem rotten sinners like you and me? To the praise of His glorious grace. Maybe you went out and did a little Easter egg hunt because there's no snow on the ground. Did you find one from a couple years ago? Did you open it?
Yeah.
You're a brave soul. Especially if it's an actual egg. Rotten egg, right? That's us. Isaiah speaks that any good we would do outside of Jesus Christ before salvation are blood-soaked bandages, filthy rags. But the good news is Jesus has done it in your place. And not only completed it, but said, here's more. Again, I challenge you, read through the passages again. Take the bulletin home, read through, cross-reference, prove me wrong from the Bible. You might just find that's what God says. And maybe you're here and you're here because mom and dad made you. Or it's Easter, so I got to go to church on Easter. There was breakfast. I mean, that'll get anybody, right? But maybe that weight is still crushing you. You're crawling as hard as you can. And as you go, you can feel it sink down more, and the rocks are pushing up. And the amount of space you have to breathe is getting tighter and tighter. There's hope. Jesus Christ in your place for you. If this is you, we're going to stick around for a little bit. Come talk. Call myself, call Pastor. We'll meet you this week. The point of the resurrection, the point of Easter is Jesus died in your place, and because He's risen again, He's given you new life. That's part of that sons and heirs. It's not just the nice food and the eggs and all the fun family stuff. It's your eternal soul at stake. Don't let this Easter pass crushed by your sin. Because Jesus has done all this in your place because He loves you and He knows what He's buying. And He says, not only do I want to buy you from your sin, I want to give you a whole lot more. If that's you, you'd like to talk, just drag me off. We'll go talk. I hope each of you have a wonderful Easter. You live as sons and heirs to the praise of His glorious grace. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. We thank You for the time we could sing and hear Your word read. We thank You that You did it in our place because we could not. That You loved us in all our unlovable state. And not only did you give us forgiveness that we did not deserve, you make us your child and give us an inheritance with Christ. Thank you. God, I pray for the one who might be listening online or here who is still being crushed by their sin, that today they would know the weight removed, the payment made by Jesus claimed, and the joy of salvation. Be with each of us as we go. We who trust in Christ to live as sons and heirs. For your glory, for your praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming. We'll be dismissed.